بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه الطاهرين، وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله، we thank and praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى for his many blessings that he has bestowed upon us. We beseech Allah سبحانه وتعالى to increase us in those blessings. By his grace we have reached lesson number 20, and we are continuing with our discussion on conditions relating to the mandatory nature of Salah. The text reads as follows. I've given the heading conditions relating to compulsion of Salah. The text reads as follows. وَإِذَا بَلَغَ الصَّبِيُّ When a child reaches the age of maturity. وَإِذَا بَلَغَ الصَّبِيُّ A child becomes an adult. أو طهرت الحائض أو النفساء. Alternatively, another example would be if a lady who was in her menses, she enters into a clean period. Another example, أو النفساء, a lady experiencing postnatal bleeding. The bleeding comes to an end and she enters into a clean period. أو أفاق المجنون, or an insane person regains his sanity. قبل خروج الوقت. So let's say, for example, I'm currently in the Dhuhr prayer. Dhuhr prayer is going to exit in 2 hours' time. So any of the aforementioned persons, a child becomes an adult, a lady in a menses enters into a clean period, a postnatal, a lady experiencing postnatal bleeding enters into a clean period. A person regains his or her sanity. قبل خروج الوقت. Prior to the time of the prayer exiting. بقدر تكبيرة. The amount that it takes to exclaim the takbir. In other words, Allahu Akbar. So let's say it takes 10 seconds. Let's say it takes 15 seconds at the most for a person to say Allahu Akbar. So if a child becomes an adult and there remains 15 seconds of that time, of that prayer time, then what is the consequences thereof? وَجَبَ قَضَاءُ تِلْكَ الصَّلَةِ Then it is necessary to repay that prayer, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The above applies, and it's fairly simple in terms of the ruling, but it applies when certain conditions are met. What are those conditions? Number one, the incumbent remains free from all preventatives for the duration required to perform tahara and salah. So in other words, 15 seconds prior to the time exiting, prior to the time elapsing, a person enters into a state of ritual purity. A lady was in the menses, she's now in a clean period. Is that prayer compulsory upon her? Yes, on condition that she remains clean for the period that it requires to perform the ritual ablution and pray, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now, what are the preventatives? What could possibly go wrong that after 15 seconds in which a person can say Allahu Akbar, certain preventatives kick in? What are those preventatives? Childhood, insanity, unconsciousness, intoxication, hayd and nifas. So let's give an example. A lady stops bleeding and then 15 seconds remains. In that 15 seconds she's able to say Allahu Akbar, but then 5 minutes later what happens? Her bleeding resumes. Is that prayer still compulsory upon her? No, it is not compulsory upon her. Why? Though she may have got the time to have invoked the takbir, but she did not remain clean for long enough for her to have performed the tahara and the prayer, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We go on, and there's another added dimension to this particular ruling. It reads as follows. وَيَجِبُ أَيْضًا It is also compulsory. قَضَاءُ الْفَرْضِ To perform the fard الَّذِي قَبْلَهَا Which comes before that. إِذَا كَانَ ظُهْرًا أَوْ مَغْرِبًا If it is ظُهْر or if it is مَغْرِب. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So I'm going to give an example, inshallah, and hopefully by means of the example, this particular issue will become abundantly clear. So we find a lady She's in the time of Asr now. 15 seconds before Maghrib kicks in, she enters into a clean period. In light of what we have discussed a moment ago, Asr becomes compulsory upon her. She has to perform Asr. But since the prayer before it happens to be Dhuhr, and normally when a person travels, then Dhuhr and Asr is combined together. So together with the fact that she has to make qada of Asr, since generally in travel, Asr is joined with the Dhuhr, she has to make qada of Dhuhr and Asr. Let's give another example. The example would be that a lady 15 seconds before true dawn, she enters into a clean period. It means now that she must make qada of Isha Salah. The Salah before the Isha Salah is Maghrib. Generally, Maghrib is joined to Isha and performed together. Since this is the case, the lady has to make qada of Isha and she has to make qada of Maghrib, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. That is the first issue, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We continue reading. The text now says, conditions relating to compulsion of salat continues. وَإِذَا طَرَأَ مَا يَمْنَعُ وُجُوبَ صَلَاتِكَ أَنْ دَخَلَ الْوَقْتُ وَمَضَى قَدْرَ مَا يُؤَدِّي فِيهِ الْفَرْضَ ثُمَّ حَاضَتِ الْمَرْأَةُ أَوْ نَفَسَتْ أَوْ جُنَّ قَبْلَ صَلَاةٍ وَجَبَ قَضَاءُ تِلْكَ الصَّلَاةِ. إِذَا طَرَأَ مَا يَمْنَعُ وُجُوبَ صَلَاتِ. This is now what our scholars refer to as طُرُوُّ الْمَانِ. What happens? وَإِذَا and when طَرَأَ occurs, مَا يَمْنَعُ وُجُوبَ الصَّلَاةِ, that which prevents the compulsion of salah. In other words, what prevents the compulsion of salah to apply to you. For example, دخل الوقت, the time has entered, ومضى, and such amount of time has passed, ما يؤدي في الفرض, in which a person was able to fulfill the obligation. ثم حاضت المرأة, then a lady enters into her menses, أو نفست, or she starts to bleed, she gives birth and she starts to bleed, postnatal bleeding. أو جنة, or a person loses his mind before salah, wajaba qada'u tilka salah, then it is necessary to perform qada'a, that particular prayer. This again another very simple and straightforward issue. What are we talking about? We mentioned a moment ago that salah is an obligation, not a moment ago but rather in the previous lesson, that salah is an obligation. But that obligation, is it muwassa or is it mudayyak? The moment salah, the time sits in, a person needs to perform that salah immediately, or does he have an extended time within which to perform the prayer? We see that the latter applies. So what happens is, Dhuhr enters, the sun moves away from its zenith, Dhuhr enters. A lady doesn't pray immediately, but so much time passes that it's possible for her to perform tahara and to perform a salah. It was possible, but she didn't pray in that time. And then she enters into her menses. In other words, she starts bleeding. What happens now? She has to make qada of that particular prayer which she missed, because there was enough time for her. If she was of mind to pray, there will be no sin. But if she was of mind to pray, she could have prepped herself and prayed. And as a result, it is now necessary for her to make qada of that particular prayer. Obviously, in the case that we are mentioning, it would be after her menses and she enters into a clean period. She has to make qada of that prayer in which she fell into her menses, if enough time had lapsed for her to actually perform the tahara and the salah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now, we go on to the next issue, and this now ties into our previous lesson. We looked at the compulsion of salah. Salah is compulsory, it's an obligation. It is the duty of the guardian to instruct their charges in this regard. We had also mentioned that when the child reaches the age of 7 and they have discerning ability, the parent must instruct the child to pray. When the child reaches the age of 10 and he or she is still not praying, then a minimum necessary force needs to be applied in light of the conditions which we had already discussed. Over and above that, what instruction, what religious instruction should parents be giving to children? The text reads as follows: وَيَجِبُ عَلَى الْآبَاءِ وَالْأُمَّهَاتِ. It is necessary upon mothers and fathers. وسيد العبيد and upon the master of slaves equal responsibility. تعليم أولادهم الصغار, they need to teach their minor children. وعبيدهم, and in the case of a slave master, he needs to teach his minor slaves. المميزين obviously those who have discerning ability. ما يجب عليهم, that which is compulsory upon them, بعد بلوغهم, after they have reached the age of maturity. So what needs to be taught? قال ابن حجر, ابن حجر says, وعلى من ذكر أيضا, it is necessary upon those whom have been mentioned. In other words, the guardian or the slave master, نهيه عن المحرمات, they must prevent their children from doing that which is impermissible. حتى الصغائر, even though the child may not be of discerning ability, even though the child may not be an adult, one shouldn't make the argument, in other words, that it's still a child, so the child isn't morally responsible, therefore let him lie, let him steal, let him cheat. No, Ibn Hajar is very clear that he should prohibit his children whilst they are still children from doing that which is impermissible and proscribed. وَتَعْلِيمُ الْوَاجِبَةِ, and to teach them what are their obligations, and to command them to do that. He gives an example, the usage of a two-stick, joining the congregational prayer, and all of those religious responsibilities, and Allah SWT knows best. What is the proof for this? The text is saying it is compulsory upon the guardian to provide this religious education, this instruction, active instruction. The proof is contained within the Quran. Allah SWT says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, save yourselves and save your family from the fire of hell. Qatada and Ali and Mujahid, they understand the verse to mean the following: save your family from the fire of hell by teaching them that which would ensure their salvation from the fire of hell. And Allah SWT knows best. It is also established in both Sahih Muslim as well as Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi sallam said, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyyah." All of you are shepherds and responsible for their flock, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So what should a parent be teaching the child? This is now back to the text of Al-Mukhtasar Al-Latif, min al-taharati wa-salati wa-siyam wa ghayri dhalika. The previous text would read that it is necessary for the parent to teach the child, to instruct the child in terms of religious instruction. What does that mean? It refers to Tahara, it refers to Salah, it refers to Siyam, وغير ذلك, etc. Also, what also needs to be taught would be the following: وَيُعَرِّفُهُمْ تَحْرِيمًا. A parent must educate the child in terms of the impermissibility of a number of things. What are they? Number one, here's a list now. Number one would be الزِّنَا. What is zina? Our scholars define zina as أَيُّلِجَ الْبَالِغُ الْعَاقِلِ حَشَفَتَهُ. That a physically mature person of sound mind, what does he do? He enters the tip of his penis, fi farajin muharramin, in an orifice, in other words, in a vagina which is not permissible for him, ma'al khulubi an shubha, whilst there is no shubha, there's no ambiguity in terms of the act which he's engaging in, and Allah SWT knows best. So from a very early age, a child should be taught the impermissibility of adultery and fornication. What is the proof for that? Allah says, لا تقربوا الزنا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi also says, لا يزني. In order to impress upon us the gravity of adultery or fornication, لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن. A person doesn't engage in adultery and fornication while still being a believer. And Allah SWT knows best. The second issue, in terms of the listing provided by Fadl, يُعَرِّفُهُمْ تَحْرِيمٌ. A parent should educate his child in as far as the impermissibility of liwat is concerned. What is liwat? هو إيلاج رأس الذكر في دبر ذكر أو أنثى وهو حرام. It is to insert the penis into the backside, in other words, anal sex, whether it be upon a male or whether it be upon a female. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, لعن الله من عمل عمل قوم لوط. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has cursed the person who does the actions of the people of Lut. And Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam furthermore says, لا ينظر الله إلى رجل أتى رجل. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at a person who comes to a male who comes to a male, in other words, engages in homosexuality, and Allah knows best. The third thing which the parent, the guardian, is duty bound to educate his charge would be وَيُعَرِّفُهُمْ تَحْرِيمَ السَّرِقَةِ, that he should educate the child as regards to the impermissibility of stealing. What is stealing? أَخْذُ الْمَالِ, it is taking money خَفِيَّةً, surreptitiously, stealthily, مِنْ حِرِزِ مِثْلِي, from a place of safekeeping, بُشُرُوطٍ, with certain conditions, وَيَحْرَمْ, and it is impermissible. Why is this? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he mentions a severe punishment, وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ فَقَطَوْا أَيْدِيَهُمَا, that the punishment for stealing is to cut off the hands, in other words, till the wrist. The Prophet has also said, لَا يَسْرِقُ السَّارِقُ حِينَ يَسْرِقُ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, a person doesn't steal when he steals, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, whilst he's a believer, again impressing upon us the severity of the act of stealing. Furthermore, number four, a parent should educate his child as regards to the impermissibility of drinking wine and any intoxicants. What is the proof for that? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu sharabin askara fa huwa haram." Any such drink which intoxicate, it is considered to be impermissible. The next issue which he should be taught, number five, would be the impermissibility of lying, whether it is a little or a lot. What is lying? How do we define kidd? إخبار عن الشيء بخلاف ما هو, informing regarding something in contrary to what it actually is. A person is asked, is so and so at home? He says, no, so and so is not at home. If that accords to the reality that the person is not at home, it's called haq, it's called siddiq, it's called truth. If it doesn't accord to the reality, then it is referred to as a lie, and a lie is considered to be a sin. Why is that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, أربعون, that there are four qualities, مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ كَانَ مُنَافِقًا خَالِصًا. If these four qualities are to be found in a person, then he is through and through a hypocrite. And وَمَنْ كَانَتْ فِيهِ خَصْلَةٌ مِنْهُنَّ, whoever a quality of these qualities in found within that person, كَانَتْ فِيهِ خَصْلَةٌ مِنَ النِّفَاقِ, then in this person there is a quality of hypocrisy. حَتَّى يَدَعْ, until the person leaves it off. What are they? إِذَا أُتُمِنَ خَانَ, when he is entrusted, a person behaves treacherously. وَإِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذِبَ, when he speaks and then he lies, may Allah SWT protect us. وَإِذَا عَاهَدَ غَرَدَ, when he enters into a covenant and then he غَدَرَ, he deceives. وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرَ, and when he enters into a polemical discussion or an argument, فَجَرَ, he becomes ugly. The next issue is وَيُعَرِّفُهُمْ تَحْرِيمٌ, a parent, a guardian, should teach their child, their charges, the impermissibility of غِيبَة. غِيبَة, what is غِيبَة? غِيبَة is يَذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ الْمُسْلِمِ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ, it is to mention your Muslim brother in a manner which he dislikes. وَإِنْ كَانَ صَدَقًا, even if it is permissible. What is, not even if it is permissible, even if it happens to be the truth. Why? لِقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, do not backbite about one another. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likens it to something. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ, does one of you love to consume the carrion of his fellow brother? You don't love that. So backbiting about your Muslim brother or sister is equal to that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Next, وَيُعَرِّفُهُمْ وَيُعَرِّفُهُمْ تَحْرِيمَ النَّمِيمَةِ, the parent is responsible and duty-bound to educate the child as regards to the impermissibility of namima, of carrying tales. Carrying tales. What is carrying tales? نَقْلُ كَلَامِ النَّاسِ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا عَلَى جِهَةِ الْفَسَادِ, that is to transmit the speech of some people to others. But what is your intent thereby? To simply inform them very innocently? No. The intent thereby is to cause mischief. That is not permissible. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَّهِينٍ هَمَّازٍ مَّشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ, that person who goes around and carries tales from one person to another to cause mischief, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that in a very negative manner, in a very derogatory manner, that is not a good thing. And the Prophet further emphasizes and says, لا يدخل النميم الجنة, a person guilty of carrying tales, such a person will not enter into paradise. Furthermore, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ بِالْبُلُوغِ يَدُخُلُونَ فِي التَّكْلِيفِ. Then also, the parent is duty bound to inform the children, to inform their charges, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمْ, he should educate them, أَنَّهُمْ, that indeed they بالبلوغ, by reaching physical maturity, يَدُخُلُونَ فِي التَّكْلِيفِ, they are now morally responsible and are duty bound. وَيُعَرِّفُ الصَّبِي, and he should also teach the child, عَلَامَاتِ الْبُلُوغِ أَنَّهَا, what are the signs of reaching the age of puberty? What are the signs? The signs are as follows. بِخَمْسَةِ عَشَرَ سَنَةً, the first relates to a time period when a child reaches 15 years of age, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And the second sign would be that if a child experiences nocturnal emission, that is also considered to be a sign of maturity, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And another sign would be in relation to a lady, when a lady enters into her menses, experiences her menses, that is a sign of adulthood, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Then very importantly, we may ask ourselves the question in terms of child education, religious education. Who is responsible for that? وَأُجْرَةُ مَا يُعَلِّمُ هَذَا فِي مَالِهِ. If the child is of the means and the child has wealth, and then the child's education will be funded from their own wealth, it is now the responsibility of the guardian to administer the wealth, but the wealth will come from the child's own wealth. However, فَإِلَّا لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ مَالٌ, if the child does not have wealth, then فَعَلَى مَنْ تَجِبُ نَفَقَتُهُ, so whoever is responsible for the nafaqah of that child, that person, who is generally the father, that person will be responsible for funding the education as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. That brings us to the end of this very important lesson. We look forward to meeting you again in lesson number 21, bi'idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Still continuing with the conditions relating to salah. Until we meet again, barakallahu feekum jami'an. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.